Well, thank you for making me so welcome today, Alison, through Twitter and live scribes at the back. On my right, I have Stephen Parker, who's volunteered to field your questions. So if you have any questions of me, please feel free to hand up and Stephen will avail you a microphone there. And as I've just sent through my Twitter feed here, eLearning09, nervously facing a room filled with friends, peers and colleagues, a great reflection point for a very turbulent year. And for some of us more than others. So my name is Alex Hayes, for those people who haven't met me before. I also have a number of people here have experienced me in a previous life, and I have a disclaimer to make at this very point in time. Not only is the title a slight misnomer, as in one context, it is also an area of great interest that we are pursuing in a commercial format. However, today's discussion and interactive discussion and questioning, and feel free to interrupt at any point in time, is really around the concept of the ability to be able to record streamed video or streamed audio into and as part of a portfolio system. A number of people here are very familiar with portfolio, and we have a resident expert at the back of the room, Alison Miller, so please, if you have any if you have any questions regarding portfolios of any description, Alison will be able to far surpass any knowledge that I may have. What I am looking at and what I'm very keen to hear from you are some of the challenges that face your organisations or yourself individually, hi Melanie, regarding your ability to record, transmit, download, upload and re-encode video, most importantly so that it becomes an aggregatable resource through mobile technology. So that's really the premise of today's discussion, and I really do encourage you to ask questions. And if there's anything in the capacity of what I'm introducing that you have a similar example to draw upon, that I'd ask that you please raise them now. There are people here live to the web taking short, sharp, cogent messages that they are sending them. They only last for 2 weeks before they're archived and don't appear any further. So we've discovered through Twitter, it just disappears. So we need to try and make the connections as quick as possible. So without further ado, I work for a very small, very early startup company known as edupov.com. Our primary focus is on the use of point-of-view video technologies within the educational sector. However, we have clients as far afield as the Tactical Response Group, right through to aged care, to childcare facilities, and through to rural fire service. So we have a broad range of clients, and we outfit people with technology, but our primary focus is on enabling training and enabling education-based scenarios to become part of a live, recorded, and reusable learning resource. So today I'm talking about the concept, not the product. The product is very different to the concept, and the whole concept, and I'm sure that you would all agree, is that what we actually are after is something that perhaps in some ways has been realised with content management systems and broadband streaming platforms such as Adobe Connect, WebEx and so on, many different proprietary-based platforms where you can connect multiple people into one learning environment virtually and also in a physical location together. However, can you, through your own portfolio system, share content easily? Can you broadcast the content live through the web to other people on the fly? Can you edit the content within your own portfolio? Can you convert that streamed, recorded version or asset into different formats and allow yourself to export and download that particular file in multi-formats? Can you transmit what you've recorded by pressing, I wish to MMS this to a friend? can you not only transmit, but can you upload content into your portfolio that you may wish to or have recorded elsewhere? Are you able to tag and find things within your portfolio easily with a search function? And how pervasive is that search function? How easy is it to find things? Are you able to, as I'm indicating there, download easily that content in a multitude of formats so that you don't need to reconvert that data into different formats? Can you search, delete permanently, and also embed and re-aggregate and share that with your fellow colleagues, with your friends, or with your family, if you chose to do so? And does that describe what you would have in your ideal folio? Is there any other key terms that I'm missing here? I'm keen to find out if anybody has any additional things that they would like to have a capacity of within their own folio, e-learning, online, that I have missed in that environment.
I guess protect as
well. So
there's
share, protection?
Protect from other people.
Okay, so there's a security type of, yeah? Protection. So protect the content that's within that folio?
Storage.
There's a storage capacity, most entirely, especially with video. We're not talking about gigabytes any further at all. Very, very quickly, we can override an organisational system just by generating high-definition video. And many of the technologies that we've been looking at, most especially, will soon surpass anybody's 10-megabyte user space that they've got in their Moodle course or what's been allocated to them very, very quickly. So, yes, storage is a major issue, very big one, most entirely security. There are other things that I'd like to go into. Yes?
Yeah, I was thinking IT knowledge that uses the student or the learner of using this sort of technology.
So there's an inherent knowledge gap between the ability of the end user and the system and also the educators to be able to bridge that gap. Yeah, absolutely. So there's a skilling component to that as well. What we have been, over the last year, what I've been listening to are hundreds of different scenarios and different needs and requirements from different individuals about what ideally they would like to have out of their own electronic portfolio. They don't just want to build a CV, which has a record and links to people that they've used in the past. They want to show live, shareable, reusable learning resources from their folio. And the pictures that we're getting are very different to what I'd ever imagined a year ago what an electronic portfolio might look like. We're being asked to provide an authenticity that meets those people who are not operating just within an organisational framework. That means that they're moving between different environments where they have to have access to this data repeatedly, and they don't and can't be thwarted or stopped using the firewall systems that each organisation might have. So there needs to be an authentic protocol to access that data. The other thing that we're being asked for is, I wish to be able to transport that data in a range of formats at any time online. Not only do I want to be able to access it from a static PC environment, I need to be able to access that from a mobile-based environment. I need to be able to log in, download, and retransmit things that I have in my portfolio. We're also being asked in terms of the interoperability and the standards of the content and the way that that content is harvested and held to be interoperable between different learning environments, between different web environments, and most importantly, between different mobile-based environments. And you've heard the word mobile maybe, what, four or five times in the last three sentences? That seems to be the predominant push that we're being asked to build interoperable systems that are reusable through mobile learning environments. And again, it needs to be accessible in a multitude of formats, not only accessible within the nature of the formatting itself, but in the ability to be able to replay and reuse that elsewhere. Mobile, as I've mentioned, an intuitive, reusable space that actually records data and records patterns of use and starts to create shortcut menus to that data. one of the most important parts of what we're also hearing is the fact that the content and these portfolios or these folio points need to be collaborative. I need to be able to add it to my Facebook profile. If I have sent the photo to Flickr, I need to be able to ensure that it's also being broadcast and sent to my portfolio. And if I'm in my portfolio and I wish to retransmit that particular file to Flickr, I should have all those social networking engines inherent with the platform as well. Not two separate spaces that I log into. And a huge one needs to be affordable. And that's the big driving dynamic, is the affordability of a folio system that's going to be interoperable, accessible, mobile. So they're the key challenges that we're listening to or hearing from different people from all different walks of life, not just necessarily within the training or vocational training sector, although that's the focus today.
So can I just ask, my folio, so that's me and my staff in loads of different places.
That's right.
But who's it for? Sorry.
Everyone.
So it's for everyone. So if it's, say, a potential employer, so then it's
them being able to access it.
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. And that's part of that equation. If we remove the word folio out of the picture, because the folio word or nomenclature naming system can confuse the issue, if it's about my identity that I wish to share, and it's in an electronic format, and I need it to be accessible, I need that access to be accessible from any point where I may hit the internet connection. So anywhere I need to have access to that data. And as you said, the privacy or the security that somebody raised earlier is about, I wish to provide this evidence to that person for this reason. For that person, I need to share this content in a different way. So these are the sorts of considerations that go behind the infrastructure for creating electronic portfolios that are accessible through different points. So that's about my, and then you can add folio, because that's the body of content. So it's all about, from my perspective, and I haven't changed the pitch, it's still about, I'm very interested in identity, authentication, and the way that we're known across the web. If I log into Gmail now, I notice that next to my name in Gmail, there's a little tiny green live button. It also shows everybody else in my Gmail environment who else is live. And I can log in and chat with them live. But I've also noticed that that little green symbol is now changed into the Skype symbol. The Skype system is now being bought out by Google in the background. If I log into Facebook, I also notice on my tweet deck that all of the other authentications that I was using before are also starting to all appear and ask me, would you like to add these people from YouTube to your tweet deck and your Facebook account? Would you, in actual fact, like to change your tweet deck into a multi-point aggregator of your identity? And that's where we're heading. That's just within social networking. And you'll notice the same thing happens within organisational frameworks too, that the capacity to chat between clients is old-fashioned. That's 20 years old. But the ability to start to share content by identity and whether you're there or not there, and via mobile-based aggregation, is becoming more and more pervasive. So the identity side of the folio, we'll take folio out of the way, identity and my is becoming very pervasive. So we've taken that as the challenge and part of the consideration. How do you design a platform that allows people and those little things, the satellites going around, to triangulate where you are, what you're doing, with whom, for you to make choices as to who you share that data with. So I've added a few more considerations and a bit of reflection thinking on what would this ideal framework or platform actually look like. And I'm thinking about multi-point access. I'm also thinking about the challenges of the formats that I have to navigate through to try and share with other people. 3GP, MP4, AVI, how many are there? There are just squillions of all these different formats that we've got to try and re-encode and reshape and reformat for other people, even just to access it, to see it. And that's a real challenge. And designing a platform that actually goes with that is a real challenge in its own right. I need something that needs to be time effective, cost effective. It needs to be easy to utilise. There's a huge amount of discussion around the nature of quality, what constitutes quality. Short, sharp messages, long, high definition, downloadable videos being charged to the nose by a major telcos here. That's another consideration. Is there enough bandwidth for all of this data to be pushed around? The bandwidth is a major cost and consideration. Is there enough support within our organisations to start moving very fast towards these pervasive, shareable, aggregatable, video-based streaming resources? Do we have the capacity to do that? Are there many examples around for people to go and find which are about the use of high-end, high-definition videos within the portfolio environment? Does this meet our recognition needs? Is it compliant with our standards? So these are the sorts of things that are the things that people need to consider about with their folio and what I've been considering. So another level deeper, and this is more geared towards the person that asked about security. I put my TAFE hat on, or put on my training hat on, or whatever you want to call it, and I'm also thinking in another language about the nature of a streaming, an ideal folio that's also going to be compliant with the needs of the organisation. Is it going to be secure? Most importantly, if I'm working with multi-point students, is it going to be have privacy controls within there that protects the rights of that user? Is it going to breach copyright by allowing people to share elements of my recognition and proof? Or is the student's learning and IP rights concurrent with that of the organisation's? Does it meet Creative Commons-based licensing as well as strict copyright? And if that student elects to share that and aggregate that via mobile aggregation, it then becomes a viral resource. It's not trapped within protocols of it's being shared easily. Most importantly, how do we manage all of that content? And what sort of authentication protocols are we going to use? Are we going to use just a Moodle authentication? Are we going to use a Google authentication because all of our emails are now aggregated through big servers and Google is a big part of that? Do we use OpenID? Do we use MyID? Or can I choose a range of authentication gateways to come into that resource of content and access that content with ease? So these are points that people are raising with us as to saying we would like a multitude of authentication points to access our content behind our folio. And I haven't mentioned e-folio or e-portfolio because there's a discourse about the nature of people's asynchronous communication of data that doesn't sit within an online format. It's strictly used for mobile aggregation. So there are multitudes of mobile folios as well that don't fit back into that discourse around e-portfolios, which is strictly online. It's also the relevance of the portfolio within the context of life. You mentioned work, the employer. What about family? Or what about even just moving forward 1 year? I noticed the other day that there's a new operating system out called itsme.it, itsme.it. An operating system that you create something and press save and that's it. And then if you want to find it again, you just put in the key terms and it predicts what it was at what time and where. So you're not actually filing things away into folders. You're not burying things. It's all on a huge search engine within that operating system. So would your folio have the same kind of capacity? What would the user interface be like? Would it just be a box that says search with a button next to it? And as you put in your key terms, would that start to fill it in for you? And how much of your identity would you allow your portfolio to have? Would you allow your iris scan to be part of the authentication protocol for the folio? What about your fingerprint as an authentication protocol for the folio? Voice, would you allow your voice to be a protocol for authentication into your folio? What sorts of other authentication pathways are people using that I have not yet heard of? Facial recognition? Chipping? being very serious about the chipping side of it too, because that's a very current conversation. Very current conversation.
DNA.
DNA. Biometric, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So these are sorts of the considerations that we need to think about, and they are very much apparent in the development of the folio or the MySpace, where I need to be able to share that authentication with different people. It wasn't prompted just to cause a stir. It is actually a very serious protocol for authentication. Most importantly, where do we store all this stuff? Yes, we can put it up in the cloud, but once we get it all up there, how sustainable is that for the future, and how secure is that, and who owns the storage, and who will pay for the maintenance of that, and when I move from one organisation to the next, and my LinkedIn profile has died, and I can't find Google any further, and what happens to all of that content that we had and aggregated? And how will people be reusing that? I received an email the other day asking for $1,250 from a good friend of ours, quite a respected individual. He said he was in London, he lost his wallet, lost his credit card, he'd phoned Linda, he had blah, 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 he needed $1,000 very quickly. Could I keep it discreet and please don't let his friends know that he was in this predicament? It was only the fact that he'd forgotten to full stop one of the sentences within the email that made me question what the email was about. So I did ring his family and I did inquire, and yes, it was a phishing scam and a very clever one. And I happened to be first on the list because my name begins with A. So these authentication and these protocols are very much about protecting your identity and your security. So what would your folio look like in that context? How secure does it really have to be? What would you use it for? And also, how would you provide that recognition from a variety of triangulation of authentication sources to protect the security and privacy of your data, particularly when you move from one organisational working role to another? And is it compliant? So, what does the future look like? And I'm asking you, it's a open-ended question. I really don't know what that future will entail, but I've put some thought as to what it may look like. I would like, I'm sort of positive here, some ideals that I think would be really useful and what are guiding the nature of our development, of what we're considering, is I need my folio to be incredibly lean. That means it needs to be incredibly low bandwidth or low access entry to it, whether it's triangulated through biometric, voice, password, code, whatever it happens to be, incredibly quick in order to get access to it from a mobile device or from an online device, either one. The other component to what I consider was a very important thing as part of my folio is the dependability of the longevity of the data that's being stored in that environment. And I'm always expressing an issue around, and I don't know if you do have you operate on an online environment and you go back the next year and it's completely changed, you don't have access. Or the fact that you have 16 passwords and you finally conceded that you only really actually need one password. How many people just use one password and yet have 16 social networking sites? Oh, some key hands going up there too. There's a bit of admittance in there. So we're at a point where we have 16 profiles socially with a whole range of information, not only triangulating where we are, what we're putting in there, but also who we're communicating with and what some of those authentic communications are about. So why aren't we moving towards different authentication systems that are about just having one identity that you map in using? So that needs to be a very dependable environment. But at the same time as that security and privacy, I would like to make my folio viral, a bit like an open-ended website with all of the content that I chose and selected for it to become viral, for it to be drilled and reused in any way, shape or form, however I choose it to be used and tracked. So that's a component, that's a consideration in relation to how my video folio, my folio or my media space needs to be. In terms of it being optimised, I need it to be able to reconfigure with any working environment I'm working with. And if I'm to use it, I should be able to access it from any virtual-based location that I happen to be in within as well. And there are not many places that I know yet that allow people to record what they're doing within a virtual environment and make that as part of their portfolio in a streaming capacity. Dynamic, rich, lifelong, any others? What have I missed? There must be some that I've missed in there. Affordable should be in there, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. So it's a consideration as to how to make that affordable. In terms of...
Probably interoperable as well.
So interoperable is another component of it.
With Mahara, now you can export your data and take it into any other kind of portfolio that adheres to their... Is this working?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
That adheres to the e-portfolio standards.
Okay, so it needs to be a space that I can use in an organisational capacity, but also use in my life capacity as well. Got a question at the back there. I've left some blank spaces here, so really it's about trying to trigger or to try and think of, ideally, what are we missing from our folio? This is not geared, it somehow ends up that it's geared towards Alison, who's got the mic in her hand.
Educative.
Educative. Absolutely. So we need to add that into that environment there.
I was thinking too about authenticity or, you know, a way of validating, you know, what I mean, that this could be for something to be valuable to employees or whoever. There's going to be some form of authenticity in the whole thing. It may be through biometrics or however.
It's interesting that has triggered that perhaps that biometrics are part of that authentication protocol for an employer to really trust that the data that was provided to that folio and was shared with them is it kind of evidence that it is the right person? Yeah.
Just following up on that, Alex, if it was going to be, it'll verify that was the person who put it up, but it's not going to verify that it's their work necessarily that's on there. So it's kind of double layered, and I think that certainly in terms of authentication, I think you're looking at it very much from an identity point of view in a sort of perhaps a social network, but I think that in education it's really about the authentication of the work as much as the identity and knowing that it's their work as well. So sort of like at several layers.
Mm-hmm.
And and I'd be just interested in seeing how you think that would carry through as people build a stream folio or a My folio that goes across education and their external life and their career, how they can, what people are doing already in that area.
Mm-hmm. Another question there.
Just building on that too, that's what I was going to add. For example, there's been some famous cases of people scanning, you know, certificates or whatever, airplane engineers or whatever, and then that becomes part of their folio. So that's the sort of authenticity I'm talking about as well. Some way of having trusted authenticity, not just the identity of the person, but also what's contained in the folio.
There's another question there, but just as you get down there, Stephen. As Melanie's alluded to we do have a great focus on the nature of social networking technologies that enable some of that authentication, and identity is a key area of interest. We're also very much looking at the compliance and the authentication from the protocols that organisations provide. Here's the benchmark. Here are the key attributes that the organisation requires in order to render or consider that piece of evidence is compliant or is reusable. So it's really a matter of examining the protocols that go towards authenticity and also go towards authentication. Question?
Just thinking about legislation, for example, the privacy laws. Mm. If you're doing a portfolio in a childcare centre, how do you can't photograph kids without permission from parents and stuff like that, and what happens to that information?
Absolutely. So we're missing permissions on that, aren't we? So permissions is a massive component to that. And we're existing in an opt-in type of environment at the moment, and a lot of our organisations bind us into an opt-in, and it's only under duress that we can opt out. So rather, how do we balance that model and provide the ability for something to be able to connect one space to the other, and the permissions are covered within that protocol? How can we get to the point of allowing that to occur? Many of the permissions that I had given in the past for various places where I have my digital content, my digital identity, the authentications have ceased or expired, and that data is now being reutilized in a commercial format without my permission. And how do I attribute my permission to that cycle in such a way that it's going to be, it's still authentic to the people that are looking at it, but it hasn't breached my own physical rights. So rights, privacy, and the ethical domain of creating a folio space is a huge consideration as part of that space. That, again, is guiding the way that we're thinking as to how you develop a product. And as I said earlier, as part of the disclaimer, it's a consideration for how you develop a framework around providing not only access, not only storage, not only broadcasting, and not only re-aggregation of that data, but how do we accommodate permissions, security, authenticity for the employer. Anything that Melanie was saying in regards to making it reusable in an organisation. Stephen?
There's the term Uber surveillance, which means in real time, 24/7, you're always being surveilled. It's on the way it's progressing, it'll probably end up being that you just have to get used to the idea that you're already being surveilled. We already are if we walk out into the streets. But whenever it comes down to the hardware, not so much the software, how can you respect the wishes of somebody within a classroom who doesn't want to be part of your folio?
That's right. How can you opt out without being considered to be opt-in? So I don't want to unsubscribe. In actual fact, I didn't want to receive your subscription. However, we're ever increasingly getting bombarded with subscriptions where you haven't had a choice to actually opt out or opt in at all. You're simply part of it. And that's a huge component and has been a fairly recent sort of part of discourse that we've had in terms of ubervalence or supervalence, which is you're not only being surveilled in terms of architecture, but we're purveyors of technology which makes that mobile and wearable. Not only is it mobile and wearable, it's embeddable within what you're wearing and doing. And the components to it, and I would predict that within the next 2 years we're going to see a shift within the framework and within funding bodies that are looking at training-based authentic material, particularly rich media material, and that is the geolocative video based surveillance technology, which is now everywhere and you can access it anywhere. It is video, POV or otherwise, technology that triangulates your geolocation with every single frame set that's recorded in that video. A lot of people would recognise that a lot of vehicles are tracked with geolocation and video. However, that static or at least asset enriched video is now becoming human wearable and reusable. So that is another component to this area of consideration for how we develop this idea or concept. And that is, where does geolocation fit into this? Where does biometrics and security fit into that? What sort of authentication protocols perhaps do organisations make a demand of the developer that may have an impact on the privacy, the security, and that protection that the organisation offers that individual?
And do you really need them at the end of the day?
That's right. Do you really actually need to provide evidence that has all of those authentications in place? So I suppose what I'm doing is just signalling a few things that we're immersed in, that we're seeing, that we're part of, and I feel that we need to actually participate in more clearly and be more interrogative, as Stephen sort of indicated there, perhaps of that ubervalence, non-opt-out type of environment, a consideration for e-learning. It's a very serious consideration for e-learning. It really is. And it's not necessarily us to subscribe to, but it's something that is very current in terms of people's discourse about developing a electronic folio that's hyper-connected, accessible, flexible, mobile, rich, lifelong, interoperable. So keywords, Alison.
Alison.
Just on terms of that, but
If people are using the internet in any shape or form now, they're already being tracked and logged, and so hence my term educative, in that actually we're much better being aware that this is, you know, every time you log into your organisation, there's a log kept on what you've done, where you've gone, how long you've been in there for. So it's probably best that we are very overt about this and talk about it and make people aware of it, so that they realise that actually there's a lot of data collected about us already online that we're not aware of.
Absolutely. And a component to this too, or one things that are missing, is the fact that data logging and that organisational record of your interaction using their forms of folio content, how do you tap into that private information of your own and reuse it for your own purpose? And can you access your medical records of everything, every doctor you ever saw, the time, what they recorded, what they wrote, all of that type of intellectual content and access to data is your own data, and it needs to become, or needs to be considered at least, to become part of that folio set. What we're very interested in is rich, reusable, as Alison said, is the key term missing, is educative content which can impart skills to connect people to better understand perhaps a task, laying bricks, childcare, aged care, any skill or content that could be considered using rich media. Any other questions down there?
Going to the hardware, there's all kinds of POV devices that are coming out. I don't think you can actually stop the being filmed by surveillance devices. Maybe if there was a device that could be marketed that would actually cut out or blur somebody if they were wearing a particular kind of badge or something, so that you can guarantee the person that they have a choice whether they want to be surveilled or not.
Well, that's a key area of privacy and security when you're considering doing that, and that's part of the permission cycle. So within the context, I'd love to show you some examples here, live examples. I've tested it on the wireless network here, and they just go, they just stagger within, and I'm very happy to show you examples. I'm in a stand at the other end of the room here. The nature of video-based technology, and the key concept is here, can you, at any capacity, stream live into your own folio? And can it be private? Can you reshare it, and can you download it? And do you have to know anything about converting in different formats? For what is the ideal scenario for your folio? That's the key question. What would ideally suit your needs as an organisation or as an individual? And as we've looked at, the considerations here are, how can you move between your private life, your organisational life, and these other environments, knowing that they are tracking what you're doing? How can you make that content reusable, particularly within the rich media domain? Melanie?
No, I don't interrupt. I just thinking, people, it's really an interesting area, and I think it's certainly new food for thought, and it's a lot for people to take in. I just thought we might have just like a 2-minute sort of thing where people might ask, you know, whatever their burning question is now, they might, they don't need to
absolutely
wait. Because we've got another half an hour, or 20 minutes,
we have,
25 minutes.
We have,
so I just thought, to give Alex ample time to answer those questions, we might just have a little mini session if people have got burning issues. Otherwise, we'll continue.
Absolutely.
Anything that if you're using ePortfolios and you work with your students, what sort of material you can put in a stream folio, those sorts of things. Thanks, Alex. I don't want to throw
any
you
challenges. No, not at all. No, that's fine. Absolutely.
No, I was just thinking about the blur between, you know, like younger users, internet users, have really a blur between Facebook and whatever, you know, whatever. For the younger user, everything's connected like that. Somebody from an older generation, myself, has a professional, if you like, professional, you know, identity and
profile.
Then,
yeah.
Yeah, but the young users don't. Their identity and their profile is all sort of mashed up together. I'm just wondering in the long term of things, for example, you know, if you have a professional folio identity, you don't want to have, you know, I went fishing on the weekend or something mixed in with that. And there's, again, this could be down to the permissions and these, you know, these things you've been talking about. But Do you perceive that as well? This the younger mashed up type identity as opposed to say the older. Do you see that as your experience or not?
I think I unsubscribed to intergenerational discontent when Mark Prensky arrived and talked to us about the nature of digital natives and digital immigrants and the separations of brain sets. And I think, and I have seen, across generational and across age groups and across ethnicities and across cultures, different uses and different educative processes that people employ for different technologies for their own needs. I think it's a very, very diverse series of subsets that allow people, the grandmother who's 92, to SMS clearly and very quickly faster than the 18-year-old who is not necessarily just as technology conversant with the SMS technology, whereas another person who may be in their mid-50s and very entrenched in the use of organisational, protected, safe environments, who suddenly discovers Facebook and the power of that particular technology. So it's not to disagree with your realisation that there is a different chronology for the way people learn. And yes, I am completely challenged by my 11-year-old. She does things on the Wii that I trip over and fall over and have got no concept of how to actually do that. But I do think that it's not necessarily about age as such, more about the ability, as Alison was saying earlier, to be able to engage in an educative, self-educative process, that lifelong capacity. So it's not that I disagree with what Mark had as a principle. I think he provided for us some very good benchmarks for discussion that opened up the way that we could interrogate technology and the way that it was pervasively becoming part of our life. But I don't necessarily agree that ages and our comfortabilities actually dictate the future. They don't necessarily dictate the future. I predict in the future things that you had not considered you would do, you will be doing them, and you'll be doing them unconsciously, like I do. I have things arriving in this device here that I had never, ever considered 2 years ago I'd ever do. I never thought I'd carry around 3 mobile devices and sleep with one under my pillow. Ever. I never thought that would be possible. But these are the sorts of things or predictions that I think we need to think about. Our futures are really, as Alison's indicated, really our focus. That's why we're here, is how do we consider these things in an educative manner? We can go down the Uber violence and the moral police type of avenue as well, and that's a consideration we seriously have to take. But I think our role as educators is very, very clearly to determine the boundaries as to where it is permissive within our training and education process to be clearly permissible. We're the gatekeepers of permissions. That's what we generally do. We support organisations that allow access to data for authentication, compliance, but we also hold, as educators, an incredibly strong responsibility for the permissions of how we educate or bring people into an educative process. Does that answer your question? Long-winded, but... I didn't want to blow Prensky's theories out of the water. I just was worried about the fact that it just afforded people a comfortable mechanism to say, "This, I'm too old for this." And that was a shame because some people were incredibly good at their trades and what they did. And then when it came time to apply that, I just can't cope with this amount of stuff. It was like talking with the Open Learn person there, and he said, "What's that thing going down the sidebar of your... How come you've got... There's 3 browsers open. What's this thing doing popping up all over the place?" I said, "It's just simply the messages that are happening through Twitter that I'm sending through my phone and took the photo and connected the Flickr together." And for the individual, that was a real challenge. For myself, I'm finding it challenging, but it's become second nature to do it because my education is about being open about where I am, what I'm saying, who I'm with, who I'm connecting with, what our thoughts are about. And I'm building this folio in some way as a conglomerate of different services, organisationally, socially, mobile, but all becoming part of the one portfolio. Ideally, I want a folio that I can move between one space and another, and authentically people say, that's definitely him, that's definitely his work. I move to the next professional environment and I provide for that employer a professional view of everything I have done. So maybe within our folio we just have to have a series of filters. And what would the filters look like? Could we have a LinkedIn filter?
I'd go back again to an educative process in that just because you've got all of this information doesn't mean that you want to expose it to everybody or anybody at any particular time. And that in particular employers actually would prefer that individuals actually knew the type of information that they wanted rather than just being given a whole slab of information and they had to work it out. So part of the process of helping people use a portfolio of who they are and their identity is to getting them to understand what other people see them as, and that's where I think the Facebook and the young people, it's really quite hard because there's cognitive skills that some of them don't quite have yet and understand what they look like when they put everything out on Facebook, whereas some of us older people know that that's not appropriate and that's not actually how we want people to see us. We want to see us differently. So it's about knowing who the people are, how old they are, what the information and why the information is being presented in such the way that it is.
So folio has moved. Educative processes are really important for the end user. However, I'm not transgressing or digressing, am I, by saying that identity is one of the core attributes to a folio? That we tend to think of it as a series of attributes to meet our end need, but through that whole thread, the whole environment is about our identity, how we interface to different groups within the community and still look cool, still look professional, still look inquiring, still being research-driven. So it's really about those different skins, for want of a better word, or different themes to apply to that folio environment. So if I want to provide information to a certain individual, I need to be able to change and add in an element to that folio that changes with... It affords that other party a connection that doesn't necessarily, as you say, overload them with everything else that they don't need to share. At the moment, my identity is spread too diversely, I feel. I don't have a crossroads to where I could actually do that. So it's as much a question of myself as it is for something to build and develop. Any other key burning questions?
This is super basic, but...
Good.
You're talking about a
lot of information there, and there's still issues with video and audio files with download times, and I find people click away from those files before they've even downloaded because they take too long. Have you got an answer for that sort of issue? I know that there's streaming video, but
yes.
You know, is there an easy technology issue?
Definitely. I think that what we're doing is providing people with this, it comes back to quality and our expectations, but also affordability is a huge part of that, and also an organisation's ability to be flexible within the way. If I want to watch something and I only want to see the core attributes of that key rich media asset, do I have to wait for the whole thing to buffer before I can start watching it in chronology from one environment to the other? Or could I, by putting a key tag term, go hit that I'm interested in this element, and it jumps to that part of the video and starts that process at that point? So perhaps it's about using tagging within rich media to navigate as a navigation point to the core, short, sharp, cogent areas of learning or media that you really want to get to. So one's about navigation, and there's the cost of bandwidth and access, the ability to get to that content. And what we're hoping to realise in due course is realising something that's actually about, you don't turn the camera on, record the video, download the video, edit the video, upload the video, and then try and share the video, who then either view it live or download it to view it again. You literally press one button that says save, so it just saves straight into the folio. The other person at the other end logs in and says play. It plays for them. They may choose to download it, they may choose to save it, they may choose to tag it. So it's a collaborative resource rather than resource of packets being pushed around all over the place. So you're streaming live into a server. The other capacity of it is I want 16 of my friends across their own profiles and web environments to see what I'm broadcasting live. So they're given a little piece of script that just opens up in their site. When you're broadcasting, it's broadcasting live to them. And the ability to go into your folio and say, I have an AVI file, it's 16.4 megabytes because it's a big file. I wish to download it in flash.flv because that's native to my Moodle environment. I press download. It compresses it and crunches it and optimizes it for view through your Moodle environment, half the file size, in the right format. Have you needed to use a converter or any other formatter? That's the ideal situation, is you're in your storage. It automatically asks you, how would you like it? Not, here's a program you download to execute to get permissions from whomever to then try and edit it and so on. It's all within, those tools and skills are within the educative folio. The tools are inside the folio.
So have you started to actually answer these questions? Are you there yet?
That's the disclaimer at the start of what I was talking about today. I would really like to be able to show you that, but that's not the nature of the discussion. It's about the concept behind video folios. There are a number of versions that you can try out there, which are Ustream.tv is a very powerful tool to check out. If you go to Livestream.tv or .com, Livestream will allow you to connect, share, broadcast, re-encode, download, and watch a whole series of adware and pop-ups that you never really wanted to watch. You also go into the copyright disclaimers and start reading very deeply, and you'll realise that everything you put through their servers is owned by them to be reused and to be remodified in a sustainable way across any commercial-based format they like. So there's a range of copyright, security and provision issues with freebies. You go to Livestream, and Livestream is a wonderful tool. However, you pay $500 a month for that access. It optimises your point-to-point recorders. It's an amazing device, and the same with Ustream and so on. A lot of those white label products will allow you to pay premium money to have it reskinned and rethemed for your organisation. And it is very narrow, thin client, lean, point-to-point video streaming, but video folio. The difference is, yes, it's streaming, but it's also giving you the option to save it directly and re-encode and download it without having to think about all of that. What program was it that I had to re-encode, compress it in super and reformat it and wait for it to format and hang on, the bit rates are a bit out, staggered. And so we have answered some of the questions in the nature of what we're pursuing, but at the same time I'm giving you some examples you could go and try yourself. Ustream.tv is free. You can go there and broadcast yourself to the world. You can save yourself, but can you upload anything else into that environment? And when you upload it, can you just press download in a different format? That's the difference. So that's what we're trying to realise. Does that answer, in a roundabout way, what the video folio concept is about?
Oh, yes, I understand the concept.
Body of tools, live into it. I can chat about that later. That'd be fine. I'd really, really enjoy doing that. But in this context, it's about the concept regarding, does your organisation that you're part of provide you with that tool yet? And what's the closest thing that tool that you are currently provided with that could realise that? I know DET New South Wales' Adobe Connect is very good in that respect. Yes, you can upload files and yes, you can connect video into point. You can make it private. You can re-embed it. But what doesn't it do? What capacities doesn't it realise? Or WebEx? Or tools that we've used in the past, what sorts of things don't... Are they acting like a folio or are they just acting like a tool? And then if I go in there and start filling out my profile, does it also fill out my Facebook profile and Google and everything else automatically for me? Is that something that you would like to have in your folio? If it is, let me know because we'll add it. I put the word up there. It does, doesn't it?
I think.
It does.
Can I interrupt?
It's a Latin term, but.
Yeah, I think, Alex, it comes from. Yeah, I think you're right. You're on the right track. It's Latin. If you think about artists and anyone who's going into graphic design, when they go for a job, they have to produce, or even to get into a course, they have to produce a folio of work. So it's demonstration of their work. And I think that's where the term has come from. It's meant to be not just like a resume, which we think of as black and white and three pages, but, you know, a multifaceted and a collection of your of what you choose to put in there for various people. So it's folio is like a collection, I think, in that sense. It's not the Latin. It's leaves, actually, in Latin. But I think it's meant to be the leaves that make the leaves of a book that make the book.
That's it, exactly. It's so far removed, actually, from what it really is, in reality of electronica. It's like having a CV that every single word is hyperlinked to a key recent attribute that demonstrates that capability that you have in a way that you can navigate between one environment and another. And the most important one is that you can log on. You can click the little icon and you're in there. And you're adding to it and you're extracting from it and you're building it, as opposed to a collection of content that you need to go and access and carry with you. It's actually part of everything you have. So that's that lean part, that how do you make it mobile and how do you make it reusable. And yes, that's another attribute of what we've realised or had made some success towards doing as well. Yes?
We've talked about mobile technology quite a lot. In terms of using the phones, whether 3G or 4G or whatever is required, how out there there's 20 million phones or whatever, what percentage of the phones nowadays are capable of this sort of e-portfolio ability to be able to...
Just about every model that's now issued now has the ability to interface with environments where you can point, shoot, record, send and broadcast all through the 3G signal. It used to be that I, and some people here will remember me turning up 5 or 6 years ago to a presentation or a discussion and saying, how many people own a mobile phone? And, you know, 4 years ago it was 60%. And then 3 years ago it was 70%. Now everybody owns a mobile phone. I don't know of anybody that doesn't. Does anybody here not own? Stephen, I'm sure that you've got a mobile phone tucked away in there somewhere or other. So that mobile pervasive technology has to be a key attribute of consideration for the nature of any folio-driven access, we believe, in the context of longevity and sustainability and interoperability. And if you go and shoot something with your mobile phone and press... want to send it to someone else, can you do so without them downloading a 3GP file and trying to re-encode it so they can show it through the computer? And that's the most difficult part. I think that's the biggest challenge for some people is, how do I translate that so somebody on here can watch it, or vice versa, how can they send it on and make it reusable? So when we talk about JPEGs, GIF, PNGs, so that's the visual, and then you're moving into all the AVI, 3GP, and then you move into all the different other codecs that go with audio as well. So there's just a whole series of them. So really, ideally, the folio situation should allow you a series of formats that allow you to re-encode what it is you have that you've collected as part of your identity. And that identity and that theming should be able to reuse that and rechange it. And there are quite a number of people Australia-wide who are looking at that very avidly, and that particularly a lot of that is moving towards pervasive, ubervalence and geolocative technologies that triangulate the identity of the person with the digital asset, not just the IP you logged in from, but the device, this device, and where you're standing and what you were doing at that particular point in time as well. So that's part of it.
Thanks, Alex. And I hate to...
keep quiet.
It's actually lunchtime. So we're very nearly there, but if there are any last-minute questions, this is your chance. No?
I hope that's just opened the conversation up in relation to the technologies themselves.
Yeah. Just stay seated for a moment, if you could. That's okay. Just wanted to give Alex a small token of our thanks for his very thought-provoking. I'm not going to...
Thank you very much, Melanie.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Alex.
Very well. when I step outside the door into this other part, I'm assuming a different hat, so I'm hoping I can show you some